Blog Talk Radio.
On allhabs.net with your host, Chris G.
All right, it's episode 171 of the Hab 360 podcast for this Saturday, March 12th, 2016. My name is Chris G at ChrisG1980 on Twitter. And joining me, my co-host, editor-in-chief, and owner of the All Habs network of sites, Rick. How are you doing?
Boy, no.
We could barely hear you, Rick, so we're going to have to have you call back in. It's a busy episode of Habs 360 today. Joining us in about 15 minutes' time will be TSN Montreal Bureau reporter John Liu from TSN, and he's going to talk Montreal Canadiens with us. Lots going on in that world, like always, for the next 60 minutes. Canadiens, they won two out of their last three games, a 4-2 loss against the Jets, a 4-3 win over the Dallas Stars in overtime, and a 3-2 win over the Buffalo Sabres on Thursday. And when it looks at the Canadiens' playoff hopes, it's not looking good. They actually have a better chance of getting the first-round draft pick overall. So they have a 3.5% chance of winning the first pick in the lottery. And when it comes to their playoff hopes, the Canadiens have it's less than a 2% chance of doing that. You can join us via Twitter at Habs360. Let us know. A lot of today's show, well, will be related to the Canadiens' hottest player, Alex Galchenyuk. You can also reach us on the allhabs.net Facebook page. I will be reading your comments later on today's episode.
And now it's time for this week's winners and losers on Habs 360.
Busy show. We're going to get started right away, Rick, with our winners and losers. Let's start with our nominees for winners.
Absolutely. And as you said, it's a busy show, so we're going to breeze through some of these. You can hear me fine, I'm hoping.
100% clear.
Perfect. All right. I think I just want to make mention of a couple of the ice caps. We're seeing a lot of them these days with the Canadiens. Darren Dietz, Charles Houdon, they both got called up and will likely see some action. Dietz has been probably the second best defenseman in St. John's this year behind Morgan Ellis. Charles Houdon got off to a great start. He's been a bit cold lately, but this will be his second call-up this season. Not called up was Nikita Sherbak. He's been on fire a bit after coming back from injuries. But I suspect they're trying to get him to be comfortable with his game, and we may not see him the rest of the season. But moving on to our other nominees for winners, I've got to mention Andrei Markov. He gets a lot of criticism, too slow. He's over the hill, but he's. You know, there's one guy who's on fire in Montreal, but Andre is pretty close behind. 10 points in 10 games, 13 points in 13 games. Going back to February 12th, he's been just absolutely tremendous. And we saw this week that overtime assist that he got against Dallas, no one on the Canadiens is able to do that to set up Galchenyuk for the one-timer. The way Andrei Markov did.
And Rick, over the weekend, he became the last weekend 10th all time for the Canadiens with games played. He's up to 914 right now. He's passed Guy Carbonneau. And like you said, in the beginning of the season, mid season, he seemed to go through like a stretch where his level of play was going down. But now he's definitely on his way up, and he's looking great.
Absolutely. The Canadiens' best defenseman in the last 10 games or so. Absolutely. I think we're going to be talking about the show's theme is not to break anybody's thunder here, but or steal anyone's thunder, but Alex Galchenyuk. But we're going to add to the nominee list one of his line mates, at least for the last couple of games, and that's Sena Andrighetto, one of those ice caps that call-ups that we had referred to earlier. He's quietly, very quietly, he's fit in nicely, very nicely on the third line. He's got his three assists the last two games, and including the one, on his belly behind his back pass. That was beautiful. He's a really nice combination of skill and yet some grit. He goes into the tough areas. That line overall has put together 15 points in the last three games. A lot of pressure to fill Gallagher's shoes, and yet I think, and it hasn't been mentioned much, I think Sven Andrighetto has been great on that line.
I agree. And I know, Rick, the Canadiens, one of their needs is some top six scoring. If we look ahead, maybe till October next year, I know a lot of things could change from here to then. Do you see Sven Andrighetto having a potential of being a top six next season? Personally, I'll be, a Debbie Downer about it and say I don't think he's ready to be a regular top six forward, but right now he's definitely doing the job.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think he's necessarily the guy you want to see on the top line. Could I see him on the second line? He's certainly got the skill to fit in there. And even when Galchenyuk, Eller, and Andrighetto were playing together, they had some really good chemistry. They play a similar sort of game. Andrighetto is, I think he's a bit of an underrated prospect. Lots of excitement about McCarron, lots of excitement about Sherbak, as there should be. But Andrighetto could be the one that perhaps is the most productive out of that group.
And who's our next nominee, Rick?
Well, I think that leaves us with the top position, and there's no doubt. I mean, there's no one even close to last week to Alex Galchenyuk. And even, going back over the last few weeks, He's now up to 25 goals on the season. He's been on a torrid pace, 11 goals in his last eight games. The fifth time in the last eight that he's had two goals, that equals Jean Béliveau's record that stood for some 57 years. Alex Galchenyuk has been remarkable. And many are tying it to his move to the center ice position, but I think it occurred prior to that. I think, and not that you never want to see anyone go down with an injury, but David Desharnais's injury kind of triggered this whole thing. Galchenyuk got the ice time, both even strength ice time and power play time that he wasn't getting otherwise. And I think more so, it just helped with the confidence, his confidence, knowing that he was the guy that the team was relying on. It wasn't going to be David Desharnais in those crucial positions, crucial times of the game. It was going to be Alex Galchenyuk. And I think he likes that. I think he likes the pressure. From his quotes, he likes having that load, he's just embraced it and has found a way. I don't think there was necessarily natural chemistry with Pacioretty right away, but they found a way to work together. And Galchenyuk, for all of his goal scoring prowess, he's in junior, he was a tremendous playmaker. And so he can set up Pacioretty as well. So having two guys who are a threat to score at least on that line makes it a little bit tougher to defend. And they have just been feasting on the opposition.
So now he's up to 25 goals, which is a career high for him. His previous record was 20. He has seven multiple goal games, and that for this season ties him at first place with Johnny Gaudreau. You mentioned a couple of the exploits. He's in the process of being the first player to do all sorts of plateaus with his multiple goal games. So and also before I continue on Galchenyuk, like we mentioned, will be a big theme on today's show. So let us know your comments via Twitter at Habs360 and also through the allhabs.net Facebook page. So a well-deserved winner for Alex Galchenyuk.
Yeah, I don't think we've had such a clear-cut winner all year as Galchenyuk was this week.
Yeah, for sure.
Which brings us, we've had lots to choose from in the loser category this year, but it brings us to that side of the coin. Again, I'll just mention a couple of them, and as we've mentioned before, this is kind of a collaborative process. I might announce them, but it's Chris has certainly has contributed to the list, and a couple that he saw as having rough weeks was Ben Skrivens. Ben's been, I think it's fair to say Ben's been Dustin Tokarski 2.0. He's Dustin Tokarski, but a little bit taller. He's tough with positioning, tough with rebounds, tough getting side to side. When you see what James Reimer's done since his trade, I know Bergevin said he didn't want to pay the prices that would have required to shore up the goaltending, but certainly acquiring Ben Skrivens was not one of his stellar moves this season.
I think that was an excellent decision for putting Skrivens in there in your list.
Yes, as it was that was yours. Another one of your nominations was Victor Bartley, and I have to agree, Victor Bartley's been a train wreck. I think the only reason he's getting the time he's getting is to try and somehow justify the controversial Tenorti trade, him coming back. I see any number of Canadiens prospects being able to do what Bartley does. You know, I had said when he was with the Ice Caps, his most noticeable characteristic is during the warm-up. He does this thing where he skates in and out side to side during the warm-up, and that's the time you notice him most on the ice, unless it's in a bad way. Skates well. There's a reason, though, that he's been a journeyman all these years, and he's not been good for the Canadiens.
He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Don't expect him to be back next year.
No. I know we've had a Michelle Therrien free zone for the free show for the last several shows, and I have to toss him in quickly as a nomination, if only for his comments about, which many inferred as taking credit for Galchenyuk's success. And maybe you have that for us to...
He's really responsible with the puck, obviously, and he's taking his opportunity that he's getting right now. And a lot of credits goes to him regarding the way he developed. He's not the same player that he was, like I said, maybe 3 months ago. We start the year with the intention to give him playing on the top two line as a centerman. We didn't get the result like we were looking for. Even at time, we put him with Pacioretty, and it was not a matter of point or goal or assist. They didn't get any scoring chance when they played together for like three games. None one scoring chances.
This was a comment from yesterday, but there was also another comment following the game against the Dallas Stars, which I think is the one you are mostly referring to.
Yeah, that's right. In which he kind of mapped out, the progress and said, you know, they took the right approach with Galchenyuk because it's obviously paying off. And you know, tossing him on different lines, putting him back and forth between center and wing, making him answer questions after each game, when you're going to be playing center. It was hard for people to take that this was the correct approach, and that the approach had led to success. Just a comment on his, that clip you played. It actually wasn't three games. It was two games that Pacioretty and Galchenyuk were together. And they were against Pavel Datsyuk and Bergeron. Pretty good defensive forwards. So hardly a fair assessment, in my opinion anyway. And they pulled the plug on that a little too early, I would say.
So the only caveat that I'll throw in there is Galchenyuk did get an opportunity to play center at the beginning of the season. He played the first 44 games. He played them at center. He wasn't getting the ice time that he's getting now. He was getting an average about 15 minutes compared to the, 17 and a half minutes that he's been getting lately. In those 44 games, he got 27 points. He was minus 5. So I agree the coach has a part of it in that as well. But Galchenyuk, if you compare him the way he's been playing the last 8 games, right now he's the hottest player in the league. So let's see how consistent he could keep that.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as the loser of the week, I'm just going to present this, and maybe we can get into it a little bit more after the John Liu segment. But I think the whole Jared Tenorti, Mark Bergevin, them as a duo here for Loser of the Week. You know, we know that Jared Tenorti was suspended for 20 games for violating the performance enhancing substances program. Why Bergevin is in there is because there seemed to be some suggestion that the Canadians knew about it, and is Bergevin's credibility as a GM shot. So, you know, the whole story is just the controversial trade, the comments Bergevin made, all of it is really shady and difficult, I think for that reason, Bergevin gets Bergevin and Tenorti. Tenorti admitted that he may have taken the substance accidentally, but that it was his responsibility. But those two are our losers of the week. And as I said, maybe we'll get back into this a little bit, because there's a lot to discuss, maybe in our third segment.
Yeah, definitely for sure. There's a lot to discuss. We'll ask TSN's John Liu about the Jared Tenorti Mark Bergevin situation, and we'll also talk to him about Alex Galchenyuk, who is the theme of today's episode. You can let us know your thoughts via Twitter at Habs360, and you can also leave your comments on our Facebook page. Sorry, on the allhabs.net Facebook page. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side, John Liu from TSN joins us. Stay with us. This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
If you're a business owner looking for the perfect platform to reach a targeted audience of customers, Rocket Sports Media is the solution. Our global hockey community provides unmatched social media reach to an attentive demographic of sports and entertainment fans. We can provide visibility to your company, helping you to engage and leverage this prime group of potential clientele. In addition, we also offer sponsorship opportunities for fan events and featured areas of website content, giving you name and logo recognition. Visit rocketsportsmedia.com to contact us for further details and information regarding this unique marketing opportunity.
If you missed a recent episode of the Habs 360 podcast, visit the podcast page on allhabs.net or search Habs 360 on iTunes for our archives. Want to make sure you never miss another episode? Subscribe to Habs 360 on iTunes, and all new episodes will automatically download for you.
Rocket Sports Media is currently recruiting talented, motivated, and committed people to join our team. If you're a student wishing to gain experience, a young professional interested in broadening your credentials, an experienced hockey mind looking for a platform to share your expertise, or a passionate fan looking to contribute to our publications by connecting with fellow hockey fans, we want to hear from you. We are specifically interested in individuals who have education and/or experience in the following areas: sports writing, translation, editing, forum administration, social media administration, multimedia, graphic design, web development and user support, event planning, and sponsorship and marketing. If you are bright, loyal, passionate, and willing to dedicate yourself to a remarkable team, visit allhabs.net and click the Join Our Team tab today.
This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
All right, welcome back to episode 171 of the Habs 360 podcast. My name is Chris G at ChrisG1980, along with Rick Stevens, editor-in-chief of allhabs.net. And joining us now on the line to talk Montreal Canadiens, like we mentioned in our first segment, there's a lot going around when it comes to the Bleu Blanc Rouge, like there is every week. He is TSN Montreal Bureau's reporter. It's John Liu. How are you doing, John?
Great, thanks, Chris. Thanks for having fun.
Oh, no problem. It's our pleasure. So the biggest news, the hottest player, I could easily say he's the hottest player in the league right now, is Alex Galchenyuk for the Montreal Canadiens. And John, over the last couple of days, Michel Therrien has mentioned a couple of times that he thinks that Alex Galchenyuk today is a different player than what he was 3 months ago. Do you agree with that assessment?
Oh, well, absolutely, simply because he's in his natural position, and he's getting a heck of a lot more ice time than 12, 13 minutes a game, and he's playing with the best winger on the team. So, yeah, it's self-evident, and what Michel Therrien was saying yesterday is that Alex Galchenyuk deserves a lot of credit for developing the way he has, and he's absolutely right, because this is all Alex Galchenyuk. This is not really, to a large degree, the coaching staff that's doing this. This is Galchenyuk finally getting an opportunity, although, on the other hand, Therrien said that he's been saying that Galchenyuk is more ready for, has been more ready for this opportunity, and by that he means that he felt that he's more mature, that he's making better decisions in the offensive zone, that he's more responsible defensively. And whether you choose to view that with through the prism of what the coach is saying or what you have been observing, what the stats bear out, that Galchenyuk had been producing points per 60 minutes at a better clip at center as opposed to wing, well, that's subject to one's perspective. I know there's a large camp that is certainly not supportive of what Therrien is selling. That's anecdotally, just from watching Galchenyuk play once he's gotten the opportunities and higher caliber wingers, it's really sort of the chicken and the egg. But there's a large segment of people who do believe in the media and in the fan base that had David Desharnais not broken his foot, that Galchenyuk would not have received this opportunity. And I think that we have to sort of give Therrien sort of a raspberry on that front, simply because Stu Cowan of the Montreal Gazette, when he asked the question yesterday, which basically was in that vein, you know, would Galchenyuk have been getting this opportunity had it not been due to injury? Therrien didn't answer that question. He didn't answer that part of the question. So I think that the perception is that Galchenyuk would not have, and I think that we would tend to probably agree with that, simply because don't know the number of games that stretch had existed prior to Desharnais injuring his foot and Galchenyuk being taken off of center around mid-January. But basically, Desharnais logging first-line center minutes and first power play unit minutes was producing pretty much nothing. And there was no indication from Therrien that he was going to pitch that experiment and put Alex Galchenyuk back at center, because any time he was asked about Galchenyuk at wing versus center, there seemed to be no commitment to moving him back to the middle. So necessity being the mother of invention has allowed Galchenyuk to flourish. And, you know, Therrien at least gave Galchenyuk credit yesterday for the development that we're seeing of, you know, basically a potential superstar in full flights in the making over the last dozen games.
From the original timeline that we got from the Canadians for David Desharnais, it was 3 weeks, and that was on February 19th. So that means if that timeline respected, he's coming back sooner or later. How do you see him getting integrated back into the lineup? Do you see him going back with Pacioretty, or do you see him having maybe as a lesser role as he did in the beginning of the year, like in the third line capacity or maybe even lower?
Yeah, well, I as the lineup is presently composed, I don't see how David Desharnais can go back into the middle, simply because it would be madness to take Alex Galchenyuk out of that first-line center position. Lars Eller, when he's healthy, certainly should be third-line center. Tomáš Plekanec is a mainstay in the middle. And then you have a logjam after that, because Philippe Dano, they acquired principally to play center. And when you watch him, he's very smart, quick, makes good decisions, good hockey IQ. I don't see how you could take him out of the middle position as well. But then that leaves Torrey Mitchell, who's been playing on the wing, Mike McCarron, that they want to give a look at center. And whether he's fourth line or third line, there's a logjam now. So in fact, the Canadians are, I believe, 5-3-2 in their last 10 games, 7-0-1 in their last eight home games. They're having a little bit of a run. They're keeping their slim playoff hopes alive. And so, really, where does David Desharnais fit back into the lineup? And I just don't see it being practical putting him into a center position. which would mean wing. But there again, it's, well, I mean, you got Pacioretty. You have potentially Andrew Ghetto going back to the left side, although I think he'd probably stay on the right side. Eller, if they want to put him on the left wing with Plekanec. They like De La Rose defensively in a third or fourth line capacity. And so where do you put David Desharnais? Fourth line, left wing? Don't know if that's really a productive spot for him. And so when you sort of do the math and look at, okay, 3 weeks from February 19th, well, we're pretty much at that point, and he hasn't resumed practicing with the team. So whether he's been skating on his own, whether he's going to be getting back into scrimmages with a team next week, unknown at this point. There hasn't been any tangible update from Michel Therrien on that front. But I think that they're probably behind closed doors in a bit of a quandary as well. It's like, where do you put him back in the lineup once he is healthy?
Hey, John, it's Rick Stevens. Good to talk to you again.
Hey, Rick. Likewise, Rick.
This week, we heard, as we talked about in the last segment, we heard that the Arizona Coyotes had announced a suspension for Jared Tenorti for violating the terms of the performance enhancing substances program. This story has a lot of layers to it, and that's partly because of the controversial trade that was made in John Scott and that whole circus as it was. What kind of caught my eye was an interview with Dave Tippett, and it was reported by The Province. And Dave Tippett said that the Coyotes knew, in fact, the quote is, nobody in our organization knew anything about it, but it was an ongoing situation before we acquired the player. Seeming to suggest that the Canadians had some knowledge, and the report goes on to say, in quotes, Tippett seemed miffed at the Canadians about it. You know, we add into that Bergevin kind of alluding that there was reasons that he could not share at the time of the trade that were the reasons he had to make the trade. So, if the Canadians knew something before they traded, is this start to affect Bergevin's credibility around the league going forward?
Well, that's a real very touchy subject, Rick. And I think it's dangerous to talk speculatively in that regard. But I will make reference to a quote that I also read from, I believe it was Dave Tippett, or it might have been GM Dan Maloney, that said that neither team was aware of the test when it was administered in December, that it's secretive, that the results are very hush-hush, and that they were not immediately aware of the results. Now, when we track the timeline as to when the trade took place, if the test took place in December, then there is a little bit of a window in between those times. It's like, well, when did the results come out, and when were the Canadians made aware of it? If the Canadians were not made aware of it until just now, well, then the inference is that they were unaware of what was happening with respect to the test. But if Dave Tippett is inferring that the Canadians did have prior knowledge, well, the only person who can really clear this up is Mark Bergevin. But, I mean, as far as, did he or could he have done something that was not entirely ethical? That's really dangerous territory to tread into. I don't really want to go there because that would be tantamount to making false accusations. But I think that any team, forget about whether it's Mark Bergevin, who's any team in this league or really in any sport, if there was pre-existing knowledge of that nature, that would be speaking in a vacuum, that would be an unethical tactic, absolutely. But whether that has been the case here or not, certainly it's not really responsible of me for me to say or speculate whether or not that has been the case in this instance. When we go back and reference Mark Bergevin's comments from the press conference in which he made that very cryptic comment rationalizing the trade of Jared Tenorti to Phoenix, I think that on the surface they would probably still have to believe that was alluding to the John Scott situation in relation to the All-Star game and how the NHL seemed to not want him there and how the Phoenix Coyotes were perhaps under pressure to alleviate the situation. But, certainly, I don't know if we'll ever get the whole story with Jared Tenorti simply because of how confidential these results of PED testing tend to be. Because it certainly hasn't leaked out as to exactly what the substance was. But, all this is doing is simply going to fuel more conspiracy theories. But we all know that Mark Bergevin does not speak with a great deal of frequency. And even if he is asked that question, or when he's asked that question, because I'm sure that he will be asked it at some point when he does speak to the Montreal media, then I would imagine, and I think we all imagine, that there would be a denial of any pre-existing knowledge of a failed drug test prior to the trade taking place.
You're right, and you know, I certainly don't want to speculate, and I understand your position there. But turning it around, if we're even talking about this, it has to be. It's something that we're not originating here. We didn't think of this. It's got to be on the minds of other people in the league, and you would think that Mark Bergevin would want to come out and clear it up. So that there is no question, there is no cloud, there is no question whatsoever that the Canadians, he and the Canadians proceeded, you know, operated ethically throughout this whole process.
Well, but I mean, you can take that from two ways as well, that there could be indictment by silence, or that even if he does say something, as we just mentioned, he's not going to potentially admit to there being anything untoward or unethical with respect to how the transaction took place or what initiated it, right? So, again, this is the mechanics of what happened and how the trade took place may never be known, honestly. And this is something, again, it's going to fuel conspiracy theories. And I think within the context of how the Canadian season has unfolded, this has become a bigger story than had the ship been smooth sailing throughout the entire course of the season. So, we could talk in circles about this, to be honest, but it doesn't really move it any farther ahead simply because all we are left with is speculation, you know, inferences and very few facts, simply because you have the Coyotes, the Canadians, and the NHL and the NHLPA involved with Jared Tenorti and the test of itself, the test result itself. So, yeah, well, hopefully that we do get the opportunity to talk to Mark Bergevin and see, you know, exactly how he addresses this and what his exact take on this will be. But really, honestly, but do you believe that we ever will get the truth? Because I honestly don't think we will.
Yeah, I don't think we'll get the answer either. If we look, John, to the Canadiens lineup, you helped us out with some research on your timeline this morning when you tweeted out that the Canadiens, compared to their day one lineup, there's only four forwards, two defensemen, and one goalie that are playing in the lineup tonight due to injuries, trades, etc. Giving the opportunity to a lot of youngsters to play. I'll throw in Sven Andrighetto in there, Charles Ludon, who we're going to see tonight, McCarron, Lucas Lesha, who was acquired via trade, Dano, who was acquired via trade. We're going to see Aaron Dietz on defense as well. Which one of these players that we've seen play so far has impressed you the most?
Well, I think Mike McCarron. Because we had been getting good reports and seeing good performance and results from him out of St. John's for the entire season. And I don't think that we expected to see him put up points when he came up to the big club, simply because the role that they want him to fill is bottom six, be defensively responsible, win faceoffs, be physical, and be a presence. And he's given that. That you don't see the young man making mistakes. He's proved a high capacity for learning as he goes, and I think what also drives the curiosity behind Mike McCarron is that because he was a first round pick and because he was drafted as a winger and was converted to center, that's a lot of change, and there's potential, and there's unanswered questions. But I think that he's done a very good job of fulfilling the role that that was asked of him, being put in the position that he's been given. And I think that once he gets more comfort, then we'll see a little bit of an offensive acumen starting to show, because even in preseason games and seasons past, he's shown a pretty good ability to make plays and make depth passes low in the offensive zone. Like he made a beauty last game against the Sabres. He was almost behind the net, and it was like a blind redirect backhand pass between his legs to one of his wingers in the slot. I believe it was Torrey Mitchell, because it was on the left side of the goalie's nets, and so Mitchell on his strong side had a fantastic scoring chance, and he didn't convert it, but that was right below where I sit in the press box, and I watched it. It's like, well, that was a very nifty little play by McCarron. So I think that once he gets more comfortable with what he's doing, then the offense will follow. But certainly you really can't poke too many holes in what he's been doing and what he's been asked to do so far.
All right, thank you very much, John, for the time. We really do appreciate it, and we'll be watching
Thanks, John.
On the TSN.
Yeah, my pleasure, Rick. Chris, thanks for having me on. We'll talk again.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you very much, John.
Okay, take care.
Take care. So that was TSN's John Liu, who joined us here on the Habs 360 podcast. We're going to take a break. On the other side, we're going to tackle the Jarrett Norty situation. We'll get our thoughts, etc. So stay with us. And we're also going to look at your tweets at Habs360, and we'll be going to the allhabs.net Facebook page to get your comments on Alex Galchenyuk and everything that's been discussed, Montreal Canadiens. Stay with us. This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
For the most trusted source of news, analysis, and features about the Montreal Canadiens, their affiliates, and their prospects, log in to allhabs.net, your year-round resource for anything Habs-related. That's allhabs.net. Don't live close to Montreal? Ever feel like you're the only Habs fan in town? Chances are good that there are plenty of fellow fans just around the corner, and HabsTweetUp.com will help you find them. If you're interested in hosting a hockey party in your city, visit HabsTweetUp.com for more details. You'll be connected to other Habs fans near you in no time. In every city around the world, sports fans flock to popular watering holes to share a few pints, some good grub, and to cheer for their team. Think your favorite sports bar deserves to be recognized? Or are you traveling to a new place and need to find the perfect spot to watch a game? HockeyPub.com is the answer. Find out where the best spots are in your city to eat, drink, and meet fellow fans. HockeyPub.com. Habs 360 is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media, digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. In addition to building a worldwide network of sports fans, the team at RSM is also dedicated to mobilizing the sports community in ways that make a difference in the lives of others. Giving back to the community bridges the gap between team affiliations. It's something any fan can support. RSM proudly provided support for organizations and projects like Hockey Fights Cancer, Five Hole for Food, the Montreal Canadiens Children's Foundations, Autism Speaks, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada, and the People of Canada Portrait Project, just to name a few. If you would like to be involved with a Rocket Power project or have a worthy fundraising initiative you'd like us to be part of, please contact us at rocketsportsmedia.com.
This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
All right, welcome back. It's episode 171 of the Habs 360 podcast. My name is Chris G at ChrisG1980, along with Rick Stevens, for this Saturday, March 12th, 2016. And thank you once again to John Liu from TSN, who joined us. If you missed part of the interview or all of it, you can search Habs 360 on iTunes or on allhabs.net, and you'll be able to listen to the entire conversation. So like we mentioned, our big topic of the day, it was all over on our social media, different platforms, And it was a major discussion in our first segment. He was named our winner of the week is Alex Galchenyuk, who's been great. He's been on fire. You could even say he's been unstoppable. And joining us on the line now on the HAB 360 hotline is Jean, and he wants to talk Alex Galchenyuk with us. How you doing, Jean?
Hey.
So what's on your mind, Jean?
I hear echo. I hear like you're talking in the back and you're there. Is there a problem with my...
You mute the computer.
Wait a second. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm just amazed. Totally amazed about this guy. I mean, in the beginning of the season, I thought, well, was that a fairy tale that he was supposed to be so good that he is right now? But now we have proof that he is. You know.
He's right now. I think Jean, in the last 7-8 games, he's the best player in the league right now. The way he's been playing.
Yeah. Man, I can't. I don't know how to mute my phone because I'm phoning you with my computer. And,
okay, so we can't really help you with that, but
no, it's okay. It's okay. I can manage the conversation anyways. It's okay. Another thing. Oh, you know what? You know what I was thinking. I think it's almost like it's fixed that Carey Price is gonna be back and the Montreal Canadiens. Pardon?
Yeah, we're here.
I think he's going to be back just because the Montreal Canadiens are going to make it like, in French, the expression is par la peau des fesses. I don't know how to translate that, but just like barely make it playoff, and Carey's going to be back right then. And what do you think about that? What do you think?
Well, I think for sure Carey Price will be back, I think, sooner than later. There was some reports that he might even come back and play in one of the games this week, but Michel Therrien said that that's not happening. But I think for sure he'll be back before the end of the regular season, but it's at this point it's too late for him to help them make the playoffs. It's practically impossible.
Well, Therrien said, no, he won't be back. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, no. He said not before the end of the season. So, but when's the end? When's the end? That's the question, you know.
Yeah, so I think he's going to come back sooner or later. He's going to play a couple of games to see what condition he's in and for him to be ready for the World Cup coming in the summer.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, my bet for tonight, Galchenyuk is going to score another 2 goals.
Well, wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah, I read that it didn't happen since Brian Savage. That's a long time ago, you know.
Yeah, he's setting a lot of records, and even the last one was 5 multiple goal games in 8, and the last person who did that was Jean Béliveau in 1959, so that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for hearing me. Okay. Yeah. Have a good day.
And thank you, and thank you for listening.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. So 1-877-455-4945 is the way to reach us and just, I guess, to make the conversation go easy, mute your computer before you call us in.
Well, then why in the world did you trade for John Scott in the first place?
Well, I don't make trade based on the All-Star game. That was the timing to make the trade with John Scott. That has nothing to do with the Montreal Canadiens, with the All-Star game. I made a trade that at the time I had to make that trade, so I have some reason that I can't really tell you why, but if I could, you probably would understand.
So that was a one-on-one interview between Rick and Mark Brezhaveng. Rick was questioning him there on that trade. So now fast forward, Rick. Jared Tinordi suspended 20 games for violating performance-enhancing drugs. I think that we know the answer now, that if maybe they didn't know the results, Bergevin knew something around Tenorti taking the violating the performance enhancing substances, and I'm pretty sure obviously I can't 100% guarantee it, right? Only Mark Bergevin knows, but that really I think is what drove the trade the way it was Tenorti for John Scott and Victor Bartley.
It's okay. The trade on its face was the return that they got, and that's what we were talking about last week in that clip that you played. Return Victor Bartley, as you mentioned, a UFA at the end of the year, and his play has been awful. John Scott, it was when we heard about it, it was considered a joke. The Canadians were the laughingstock, all that sort of thing. He hasn't even been fighting all that much and protecting his teammates in St. John's. We know, we've heard that he's never going to be get an NHL game with the Canadians, and that was kind of reaffirmed when Mike Brown was brought on. So all of that and those cryptic comments, as John Liu described them, he was wondering if they more applied to John Scott aspect. But as you replayed them there, I'm not sure that that's the case. The fact that this is such a, there are layers to it, that this is something that makes people uncomfortable when they talk about it, that gets into that cloud of credibility or lack of credibility. There's no way that the Canadians should have ever involved themselves in anything like this. Mark Bergevin has repeatedly said how difficult in the league it is to make a trade. It hasn't seemed so difficult for other GMs, but Bergevin has, let's grant him that it's difficult to make a trade. Do you think this whole situation, number one, he didn't make the Canadians better in any way, but has this situation improved his ability to trade with other GMs around the league? No, it's made it worse. How hard is it going to be now? No one's going to trust him. There's the other aspect that some of this lies with the Coyotes, because there was the report that the NHL advised them to wait until after the deadline to finish the trade, and they wanted to go ahead with it. So they bear some responsibility. But let's, as we focus on the Canadians, look at the Canadians aspect. And there's no aspect that's good to this trade.
I don't think it made things worse. I don't think it made things better. I don't think it changed anything. I know Dave Tippett said that they didn't know the results. He actually said none of the organizations knew of what the results are. When Mark Bergevin called Don Maloney and told them, I want to give you Jared Tenorti and give me John Scott, or however that conversation went, you'd think that Don Maloney was probably thinking to himself, like, wait a second, like, why do you want to give me Jared Tenorti and why do you want John Scott in return? So I'm sure it was some kind of conversations. I know either Bergevin had an idea of what Tenorti was taking, or he knew that the Canadians just got tested and, like, you know what, we need to get rid of him. Something, like, there must have been a trigger. I don't think when they say when something is too good to be true, it usually is. So if Don Maloney, I would expect him when this kind of thing to say, you know what, like, what's up? Like, why are we doing this trade? And it was known that at least the tests were done and what to expect the results. To the point where even the NHL said that they were asked if they'd investigate this trade or if Arizona had a possibility of canceling it or voiding it or whatever the term is called, and they said that they won't. So I personally think that when it comes to Bergevin and his relationship with the other GMs, I think it wasn't changed. If Tenorti would have been traded for a Max Domi or a Duclair or a Michael Butker, then I'd say different story, because he would have screwed the other GM, or in this case, it was one favor for another favor.
But the Coyotes don't get a favor back. I mean, this stain, as it it's called. This problem is now handed to the Coyotes without them knowing. If what you're saying is true, that Bergevin had an inkling that there was going to be a problem, he traded a major problem. He made a major headache, and not only with that particular player, but that gets attached to your image, your organizational credibility.
Rick, how much of a problem is Jared Tenorti to the Coyotes? This, okay, he's missing 20 games, but after that, he's back. Like, obviously, we don't know what that the banned substance is, but after 20 games, he's back and he could continue on his career. Like, how bad is it for the Coyotes?
But doesn't this, shouldn't it have been the Coyotes' decision that, yes, we want to take this on, yes, we want to deal with this as an organization, or no, we don't? That should be their decision, whether their image in the community can absorb that hit or not. You know, the Canadians, their image is strong, right? Their image is really strong. So they could absorb the Cassian hit, even though it was well discussed and everything. The Coyotes are on, you know, what went through with Glendale Council and everything. There's not a lot of support there to begin with. And if now, you know, it's thrown in their face, well, you had someone that failed the drug. It's a different situation. And whether we think that they could absorb it or not, it should have been their decision whether they wanted to accept that or not. But I'm not so worried about the Coyotes. I'm more focused on Bergevin's credibility and his phrase that he had to make the trade. And he had other options, you know? He could have traded Tom Gilbert. And he probably should have traded Tom Gilbert if he needed to make room on the defensive side. If he didn't want to trade Tom Gilbert, if he wanted to make this about Jared Tenorti, put him on waivers. If he knew this was going to be a problem, then put him on waivers. And if somebody picks him up, well, then damaged goods. I mean, that's not a big deal. Or if he passed through waivers, I doubt that he would, but he would have went to St. John's, and this would have been a very different thing. And then you wouldn't have brought in the John Scott circus and all of the negative press that came with that. He had other options. I just think out of all the options he had, he made the worst choice. Well, then why in the world did you trade for John Scott in the first place?
Well, I don't make trade based on the All-Star game. that was the timing to make the trade with John Scott. That has nothing to do with the Montreal Canadiens with the All-Star game. I made a trade that at the time I had to make that trade, so I have some reason that I can't really tell you why, but if I could, you probably would understand.
So Rick did a good job there trying to get the answer out of Bergevin, but that didn't work. And like John Lou said, will we ever know the answer to this question? Probably not, but I do expect that at the post-mortem press conference, which I'm assuming will be the next time that we'll hear from Mark Bergevin, at least a question will be asked, and then we'll see what kind of answer that the Canadiens PR department is preparing from now until that date. So let's go to our social media now for our questions when it comes all around to Alex Galchenyuk, which was the theme of today's episode. And, well, let's start off with the Twitter. We asked, can Galchenyuk be stopped? And, well, we got a response from PNK81. He writes, only when Dernais comes back. So Dernais seems to be the person who will stop him. And then we asked a question on the question was the same one, can Galchenyuk be stopped? And Mike Vini, he writes, he's not under the radar anymore. Teams and goalies are going to start centering their game plans around him. It will get harder. And that's That's definitely the case. I think it's already started with all these injuries where that first line is the only one that has a full NHL caliber roster on that. And the last tweet comes from Tim in regards to can Galchenyuk be stopped. He writes, no, he can't now that he is the number one center, as he should be, and most of us had said from the start. Shows coach MT should go. So thank you very much for the tweet, Tim. Rick, any responses on the Facebook?
Can Galchenyuk be stopped on Facebook? It says only if Therrien misuses him, like other guys whose careers he's wrecked. That from Mark Dupuis. Gary Moran says they should trade Didi, David Desharnais, this summer. He's useless. Tony Benedict says only Therrien can stop him when Didi returns.
So that's
and
a theme.
Graham it seems to be a theme, yeah. Graham Hoke says, yes, he will be stopped at the end of the season. So in other words, no, he's going to continue this right through the remaining games of that the Canadians have. Very, very positive there.
Yeah, and one thing for sure, if you look at the Canadians' lineup tonight against the Minnesota Wilds, if you're watching this game, P.K. Subban won't be playing, so his Iron Man streak will be coming to an end. But we're really glad that he's okay following that incident against the Sabres on Thursday. But that means right now for the Canadians, the most exciting player that they have in the lineup is Alex Galchenyuk. So he's the one who will be getting all the focus from the opposing defensemen in the upcoming future, and they probably should have been paying a lot of attention on them anyways since the beginning of the season. Canadians, in the upcoming week, they're playing three games tonight against the Wild, Tuesday night against the Panthers, and then Wednesday, the Canadians will go back to Buffalo to face the Buffalo Sabres. Rick, thank you very much.
A great week as always. My goodness, the show went by fast this week.
It did. There's always lots of news. We didn't get through all of them, but don't worry, you can still stay updated by visiting allhabs.net on their website, Twitter, Facebook, and as well follow Habs360 Twitter line as well. Thank you very much to John Liu from TSN Montreal, who will join us. Watch him on the SportsCenter on a daily basis. Thank you, everybody, for their tweets. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And I think next week, prediction, we'll be talking about Carey Price return. See you next week.
For the latest news on the Montreal Canadiens, follow us on Twitter at Habs360 and visit allhabs.net.